All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here celebrating with you the resurrection of our Lord, saying Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And so we are taking this week to look at the letter to the church in Sardis in verses 1 through 6 of Revelation chapter 3. And Sardis sees itself as being the exact opposite of Jesus in the Easter acclamation, as we see right away. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "The words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then that you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So far, the first six verses in the letter to Sardis. At one time, Sardis was the most powerful city in the Mediterranean world. It was the capital of the Lydian Empire and the seat of the Persian governor's power. It's located about 50 miles northeast of Ephesus. But the letter to Sardis shows Jesus' watchfulness concerning the church. He also encourages us to be watchful through the kingdom parables in Matthew. But again, as I said before, they seem to be the exact opposite of Jesus. Jesus, on Easter Sunday, the very first Easter, it was rumored that he was dead, but he was truly alive. Even the disciples, even Thomas, as we will see this coming Sunday, still believe Jesus to be dead, but he is alive. Whereas the church in Sardis has the reputation of being alive, of being active, but they are actually dead because they have stopped being watchful. So we look at the words of Jesus from Matthew 24 and 25, starting off in 24 verses 42 to 44. "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And then shortly afterwards, in Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" This watchfulness is why we wrestle with theology in the first place, keeping our hearts and our minds sharp so that we see the devil's lies, so that we see the times where our faith gets drowsy, where, yes, all 10 virgins were drowsy and fell asleep, showing that foolish or wise, we are going to die, likely before Jesus comes back, before the bridegroom makes his appearance. But when we are awakened, that is it. You are either ready or you are not. There is no third option there. So Jesus tells the church in Sardis in verse 2, "Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God." This is the second harshest condemnation among the seven letters to the congregations. Only Laodicea in verses 14 to 22 of this chapter, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks, only that one is harsher. So he says, remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. The Acropolis of Sardis towered more than 1,500 feet over the surrounding valley, with sheer walls thought to be impregnable. However, this did not prove to be the case. Sardis was captured by Cyrus II in 547 BC and by Antiochus III in 214 BC because of negligent watchmen. The day of the Lord is seen like a thief if you will not wake up, if you will not be ready, be watchful, it'll come like a thief, like we just read in Matthew 25. But also in Mark 13, verses 32 to 37, some of the most, not annoying, but oddest words that Jesus speaks as the Son of God. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. I say these are some of the not necessarily annoying, but odd words, because Jesus himself says that not even he knows when Judgment Day is going to be. He is chosen because of his humanity to not know, because he's not going to tell us. Why? Because he wants us to stay awake. He wants us to be ready whenever it is, whether it is in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or sometime in the morning. Whenever Jesus comes back, he wants us to be ready. And he wants us to be ready all the time. Just as Paul says to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 to 8. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for our helmet, the hope of salvation. We are not in darkness because we are children of light. We are children of the Heavenly Father through our baptisms into Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Therefore, his coming should not surprise us. We should be ready. We should be awake and sober so that we know and we see what is happening. Now, these are all harsh condemnations, but in verse 4 he says, yet you still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The soiled garments brings us to the prophet Zechariah, the third chapter, where he sees the vision of Joshua the high priest. Here's Zechariah 3, verses 1 through 7. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing in his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed in filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord solemnly assured Joshua, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts. And I will give you the right of access among those who are standing here. Joshua the high priest was there being accused by Satan, having the sins of himself as well as the people piled onto him. And God says, let him be, let the filthy garments be taken off of him, have him be clothed in pure garments. and I have taken your iniquity away from you. What is so special about this? The Hebrew name Joshua is the one that gets Hellenized into the Greek and the Latin as Jesus. Joshua and Jesus are the same name. Jesus is our eternal high priest who bore our sins upon the cross, wearing our filthy garments, so that we might be able to attain his pure vestments, that we might see our iniquity taken away, so that we might walk in white, as God promises to those who conquer in this letter. But before we get there, we are also reminded by Paul in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So as Christ has the clean garments of the resurrection, so also do we. And then Colossians 3, verses 9 to 10, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Again, don't go back to the filthy garments of your sin and iniquity. Go to the pure vestments of Christ and his resurrection, because it is those white garments in which we will walk, never to be blotted out of the book of life. We will be confessed before God the Father in heaven and before the angels. This is what Jesus promises to all who believe in him, to all who listen to his word. Therefore, he says once again, as he says at the end of every letter, he who has an ear of faith, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. All right, that is it for the letter to the church in Sardis. I thank you for being here with me, digging deeper into this, especially this Easter week, as we celebrate the resurrection, celebrate the new life that is ours in Christ Jesus. And so that we may wrestle with the theologies around us, having put away the filthy garments of sin and put on the pure vestments of Jesus' resurrection. Until next week, this is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for being here. And may God richly bless you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.